A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was in the plane and they handed me a letter, and it was from Coach Belichick. And he wrote me the most beautiful letter.
Our friendship goes back many years. And I think anybody that's spent more than 5 minutes with me knows I'm not a political person. My comments are not politically motivated. I have a friendship and a loyalty to Donald. A couple weeks ago, we had Secretary of State Kerry in our locker room. It's another friend of mine. Can't imagine two people with more different political views than those two. But to me, friendship and loyalty is just about that. It's not about political or religious views. I write hundreds of letters and notes every month. Doesn't mean I agree with every single thing that every person thinks about politics, religion, or other subjects. But I have multiple friendships that are important to me, and that's what that was about.
Okay, that's just to get it back into the Belichick thing, as you know by now. Last night he released a statement saying that he is going to pass on the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Want a quick thought from this, and then we'll get to the phones. Greg, what's your thought on Belichick's decision here?
My thought is I only care about this stuff if it affects the team on the field, and I do think that this had the potential to affect the players on this team if Belichick went ahead of it. Just from this perspective, Belichick has said all season, including I think in a season-ending press conference to us, about how much he learned from the players and how much he respected the players after all their talk about social justice and things like that. And I thought Belichick going there after what just happened and all the various offshoots of what's going on in Washington, I thought he had the chance to his players basically to be like, you know, was that just all a bunch of BS? Is he really being true to us? And once that starts to creep in, then you have issues. But I think Belichick doing the things the way that he did, and including his statement, and I'm sure some people didn't think it was strong enough and all that. I don't really care, but I do think I care the message that it sent to his locker room. And I thought it was basically, again, I have your back. And I think that's big for the Patriots going forward.
Once again, William Richard Belichick. His friends call him Bill.
Why? So why do you think this was a Richard Belichick move?
No, I'm joking. I said the difference to me is this time he's not Dick, he's Bill.
Oh, I see.
So look, I think Bill made the smart choice here. He made the smart choice. I said this yesterday. I thought the right thing to do at this time was to not go down there and don't introduce this thing. Just don't go. And if you have to come up with an excuse, whatever, figure out how do you want to say it. They chose a statement that I think for the most part was, you know, it wasn't a complete and total lie. In other words, he didn't say, like, I had a prior commitment. I even said to you yesterday, make it up. Like, make it up. You say you had a prior commitment. And I don't feel like he did that. Now, again, whether everything in there is honest, I don't know. But I thought the smart move right now was to stay out of there. And, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and rip him for it today. I think he did the right thing.
Yeah, I think he weighed Trump against the likes of Devin McCourty and other leaders in that locker room and potential free agents, because I think you got to look at that, too. And he makes the only logical call.
So it's certainly going to be easier on him. Like, he made life easier on himself. That's for sure. So if that's the smart thing, then that's the smart thing. Made him his life easier just walking the streets, being him, never mind the locker room, never mind free agency. Just that this is definitely the path of least resistance. I just, and you know, this isn't a knock, you know, like I said, maybe he's right and the world is wrong. Maybe he's right to believe in Donald Trump and, you know, everybody else is wrong to think that, you know, what he did last week was really, really wrong. I mean, it's, so I'm not telling Belichick's right or wrong, but I believe that he doesn't really believe in what he did. I think he did it out of pressure. And I think he did it out of, you know, convenience is the wrong word. I think he did it for reasons other than himself. In other words, in a vacuum, I think Bill would still be there. And, you know, there's two reasons why I believe that. One is he canceled after it became public. You know, the thing I think was put on the schedule late last week, right? It was put on the schedule last Thursday, I thought I had read that. If, you know, if someone can correct me, they can correct me. But I think Belichick had days to cancel this and say no to it. And he only did it after the Politico report and it came out that he was going to be there. So he didn't cancel before it became public. He canceled after it became public and everyone raised a stink. So I think he was reacting to the stink, not to the actual events of last week and, the actual morals of going down there, if you will. I think he was reacting to the reaction. And I think if there wasn't the reaction, if Politico didn't report that, if no one knew that he was going to get this thing like Annika Sorensen and Gary Player last week, who just went in and out without anyone knowing it, if no one knew this, I think he would have gone down there and done it. And I also get that from the statement. And I'm not blasting him for this. I think this is his way to convey that it was done for kind of quote-unquote outside reasons. You know, when he says the decision has been made not to move forward, the decision has been made. He didn't say, I made the decision.
Right.
Yeah. So he makes it sound like, yeah, the board got together and made the decision, or my advisors got together and made the decision, or it just implies that the outside forces, you know, there was a collective there, right? The decision was made. It's not that I've decided. He never said that.
Definitely.
And then that line, he says, I represent my family and the Patriots. You know, I know that I also represent my family and the Patriots. So he's obviously saying there that this is going to reflect on my family and my employer.
Correct.
And that's the reason he's doing it. If it was just about him, certainly if no one knew it, and if it was just about him, I think he'd still be there. And that, you know, I think that makes him wrong, but, you know, that we can debate. But I don't think, you know, so, I mean, I don't blast him for the statement. He's not supposed to say something in the statement he doesn't believe, folks. So if, you know, he doesn't rip Trump here because he doesn't want to rip Trump. He likes the guy, believes in the guy, is loyal to the guy. So why would you rip a statement? Would you want him to lie in the statement? I don't want him to lie. I want him to do what he believes in and stand by it. So I don't rip him for the statement one bit, but I do think the statement's a giveaway that he's sort of reacting to the reaction.
Do you think he believes in Trump's politics?
Some of it.
Okay, some of it.
I mean, like all of us, right? I mean, any politician you support.
Sure.
Unless you're one of these, you know, a-holes storming the gates there. But, you know, for the most part, it's the way we all treat politicians.
I would say even the ones you don't support. Some of the ones you don't support, right. You look at it and you say, well, no, I actually agree with them on that point.
Of course.
And so I think the cut that we played there at the beginning is, I would say, pretty close to how Bill feels about Trump. I think to him it's largely a personal relationship. You know, define the term friend however you'd like, but he considers him a friend. And so he was going to support him in his bid for the presidency. At the same time, I look at Bill and I say, his father had great influence on him. His father, when he was in the Navy, was the only white officer to remain in the officer's lounge when a black officer walked in. All the others walked out. I also look at Bill and say Bill went to Wesleyan, which might be the most liberal college in America.
It's up there.
Like, yep. So I look at Bill and I say, and Bill works in the NFL where, people putting aside differences and functioning on a team is critical. And I do believe he believes in the team concepts. And if he did it for his wife, his kids, his organization, because politically it looked bad, and he's going to turn his back on his friend as a result of it. And I say turn his back. But again, I have no problem with it. I mean, he can give whatever reason he wants. He probably does like Trump, but I don't think he agrees with everything Trump does.
So, of course not. You know, of course not. And most people wouldn't. Most people wouldn't agree with everything anyone does. But, anyway, there's a Belichick thing. That sort of, the one thing it did do, it sort of nipped it in the bud, I think. You know, if Bill had not done this or had left it open, you know, it's the story's raging, right? And now it's kind of over. Kinda. So, but you can weigh in if you want, folks. I promise we are going to get to you. We still do have to do 10 questions here with the big fella. We'll do that with Bedard, and then I promise to your calls, don't go anywhere.
Dugger Pass.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilbur Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions around the league, 10 minutes to do it. We got to be quick. Jimmy, what are our buzzers this week?
Brady is over there with a team of...
Oh, jeez.
Can't say that. Next.
Max McGee catching multiple passes while he was faced. Thank you.
I wish I wasn't moaning at the time, but anyway, go.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Are you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Don't get me started with the technology. Next.
Bucks win. Bucks win. Bucks win.
Yeah, Gene Deckerhorf.
That guy's a tool bag.
Is that his name, Deckerhorf?
Yeah, Gene Deckerhorf.
That yep. actually works for him. Next.
Go Bucks, go. Tom wins.
Very good.
Go Bucks, go. Hey, New England, what do you say? Brady's going to win today.
Murray. Very good.
He got rocked by Aaron Donald on that. Darnold. How are they? You said they're yeah, the whatever. Beast on the defensive line of the Rams. Yeah.
Okay, hit whatever one you want. Let's go.
Bucks win. Bucks win. Bucks win.
Number 10, Greg, your thoughts on Frank Reich going for the touchdown at the end of the second quarter in Buffalo, fourth and goal at the four.
I actually liked it. I thought it was...
Contrarian. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it wasn't contrarian. I said it at the exact time that it happened. You can check my Twitter account. I thought it was worth the risk. Going up 17-7, putting a lot of pressure on the Bills on the road, I thought it was worth it. And your thinking is, I have all three timeouts. At worst, they have a terrible field position. I'm going to get my field goal most likely, so I can get it at some point. It's worth the risk going for the extra 4 points.
It was dumb. It was dumb. After he lost 3 yards on third down, he should have kicked the field goal. It was dumb.
Dumb. Okay, let's take 3 points.
Yeah, okay, next.
Brady is over there with a team of star team.
Oh, jeez.
Number 9, Greg, your thoughts on Mike Tomlin, punting on 4th-and-1 from his own 46 early in the fourth versus Cleveland.
That was awful. I mean, look, they had the Browns on the ropes at that time. If they get it and they go down and score, all of a sudden, I think it's a 5-point game. You keep your defense off the field, get them a little bit more rest. It was dumb and basically cost the Steelers that game and their season.
Also dumb. You got him on the run. You get a chance to get back in the game. Like, what are you doing? The coach's decisions this weekend, many of them, God, these guys are stupid. Really, you put them in a game decision where they have to make a call on it, and none of them can do it. They're all idiots.
Gutless gave the momentum away.
No feel for the game is what I would say. And now, you know, the analytics taking over where there's so much going for it on fourth down or going for two. It's like when guys don't do it, I mentioned this yesterday, it's gotten a little confusing. It's like, I thought all the nerds were telling you to go for this now, and you're not going to go for it. Never mind the flow of the game. Like, I think it sort of stands out now because a lot of these decisions can go either way, where in the past, you always took the 3 points for Frank Reich, and frankly, you always punted if you were Mike Tomlin. Like that, you know, 10 years ago even. That's how almost every coach handled those situations. Now it's kind of all over the place. Next.
Max McGee catching multiple passes while he was faced. Thank you.
Number 8, Greg, your thoughts on Baltimore stomping on the Titans logo at the end of that game?
I didn't have a problem with the logo stomping per se because of what went down. I had two problems with it. Number 1, when it happened, the game was not over yet. And that penalty with the Titans having 3 timeouts could have cost the Ravens the game. And secondly, It was obviously premeditated, along with the Lamar Jackson, I'm not shaking hands. That tells me that the Ravens are wasting time in preparation for playoff games with this bullcrap off-the-field macho stuff, and they're not focusing on what they have to do, and it makes me worry about whether they're for real or not.
Also dumb. I mean, again, my answer to the first three questions is dumb, dumb, dumb. They're all dumb. And the thing about not shaking hands at the end of the game, oh, would you grow up? Please, would you grow up? It's the playoffs. It's football. It gets emotional. Shake hands at the end and move on.
Yeah, I loved it. Real sports hate is good for sports, and I don't care about the precious logo. The thing didn't fight the Germans at the Battle of the Bulge. Some of the caterwauling you saw online, oh, the logo, it's a logo. And if it makes the team mad, the other team mad, and it kicks off a hate-filled rivalry, good, do it.
The logo, some people think, has some really bad Old South overtones, actually. So maybe that logo deserves to be stomped on. That's a story for another day, though. Next.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good as you. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Number seven, Greg, what should the Bears do at quarterback going forward?
I don't know. Just not miss Trubisky, that's for sure. Something different.
I would keep Trubisky and draft someone is what I would do.
Ugh,
I would. I see little flashes with Trubisky. Ugh. I just think it's too early to pull the plug on this guy. And so ride it out a little bit more. You know, the game might have been totally different if that jackass wide receiver catches the ball that lands right in his hands.
Thank you.
I mean, it was a touchdown. That is one of the worst drops I've ever seen in my life.
Okay,
we could be Josh Allen next year for Felger. I mean,
okay, we have got to put in your pants there, Greg. Next,
go Bucks, go! Tom wins.
Number six, what do the Steelers do at quarterback going forward, Greg?
They have to draft a quarterback in the first round and get somebody ready to play. I mean, I assume Ben's going to be back next year, but they can't wait. They have to get going on a replacement.
Mason Rudolph.
Trade for Sam Darnold and Matt Stafford.
Give it a shot. Give Mason Rudolph a chance. Give him a chance.
Okay. Everyone's out on Ben Roethlisberger. Next.
Go Bucks, go. Hey, New England, what do you say? Brady's going to win today.
Number five, tool bag question. Who is the biggest tool bag of Wild Card Weekend?
Marcus Peters for that celebration and just the fact that he plays when he wants to play and he's a total front runner. Like, thanks for showing up against the Patriots, you jackass. At least he showed up in this playoff game. You know, once the Bills start beating him on Sunday or Saturday night, he's probably going to check out of that game too.
Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry. The thing, like, you know, running off the field and not shaking hands really bugged the crap out of me. I can't. I mean, that is just like, what do you think? You're cool by bolting off the field? Just play the game. You won the game. You got your revenge. Shake the hand and move on.
I might have to buy a Lamar Jackson jersey now. Diaper-filled baby Patriots fans who refuse to root for Brady.
Good job, Murray. Excellent answer. Next.
He got rocked by Aaron Donald on that. Donald. How are they? You said they're the beast on the defensive line of the Rams. Yeah.
Greg, do you like the new format?
It's all right, but I'm never going to be for any format with a single bye. I just don't like it. It puts too much power, and the schedules are too imbalanced every year. I don't like the single byes.
I loved it. I absolutely freaking loved it. It was terrific. Three games wall-to-wall Saturday and Sunday, and I like the one bye, Greg, because now the team's got to play to the wire. The good ones have to play to the wire, and there's no guarantee. You got to play it out.
Reluctantly, yes, it was nice to have wall-to-wall football, but more wild card games means more duds, and instead of one, we had two.
Next.
Max McGee catching multiple passes while he was faced. Thank you.
Number three, Greg, give me an assessment of the Philly coaching situation, please.
Well, Doug's been exposed ever since Frank Reich went to Indianapolis, and that's just a tough situation with Howie Roseman hanging over everything. I think it's a tough sell, and between Lurie and Roseman, they meddle in everything. So good luck.
It's a mess. Absolute mess, Philadelphia. Please, I wouldn't go near that job.
Doug Peterson is now past Barry Switzer as the worst coach to ever win a Super Bowl. So adios, Surfer Dad.
And he beat you to boot. Salt in the wounds. Next.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good as you. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Number two, give me a Deshaun Watson trade there, Greg. A Deshaun Watson trade. Any team you want, but make it as realistic as possible so it makes sense for both sides.
Watson to Miami for Tua, 18, and probably a second and third. That would be my trade.
I mean, I've said this one all along. Now Bedard's stealing it, too, for crying out loud. Absolutely. That's the deal. Miami's got Houston's picks. So you know what? Send him back with Tua and go get Deshaun Watson in Miami.
But that's not what Greg did there. Greg sent him 18, not number three.
I'm not giving him four. Tua and four? No way.
Not enough.
It's three.
Not enough. Tua at number three for Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson to the 49ers for two firsts, a second, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's not horrible.
He would go wild in that offense with Kyle Shanahan. And think of the weapons there. That'd be the balls.
Murray. That's not a bad one. I sort of like that.
I'm not
okay.
Doing that if I'm San Fran. No. It's too much.
Yeah?
Too much.
And also, then Shanahan would have to lay off. You know, he would have to stop overcoaching his quarterbacks and let the guy play a little bit. But either way, I think that's a decent one. All right, next.
Go Bucks, go. Tom wins.
Last one. Who needs to win this weekend the most? Who's got the most at stake, Greg?
Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, a lot of people think that they're chokers and front runners. And if they go out there after a bye in the first round and lose at home, not a good look.
Oh, it's Rodgers. It's absolutely Rodgers. He's the MVP of the league. He threw almost 50 touchdown passes. They got the bye. They're at home as a result. The whole nine yards. They go one and done now. Again, egg on his face. The only other one I would offer is a close second because Greg obviously said the same thing. Drew Brees. Dude, you're walking. You've only won one. You need to win two. You kicked the crap out of this team the last time you played them. You better not puke on your shoes this time.
Packers and Rodgers is the only answer. Presumptive MVP. They already drafted his replacement, the one seed. They might not get a better shot than this.
This is it. This is the last kick at the can for that guy, I would say. And if he really wants in the conversation, even if he wins, he shouldn't be there. But, you know, if he wants to solidify his place, wherever that is, he's got to come through this time. Brees is also a consideration, truly the last kick at the can. And I still think there's a little pressure on Lamar Jackson. You know, he fancies himself in Pat Mahomes' category, and I don't think anyone puts him there. And the only way to get there is to start winning playoff games and championships. So I would put some pressure on him. You know what? Jimmy, just give me one quick bonus one, if you could. One quick bonus buzzer for the big boy.
Brady is over there with a team of star teams.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, Greg, why do you hate Josh Allen? I'm kidding. Here comes an update from Big Jim Murray, and then I promise your phones.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
To your phones, as promised. Start off with Mac Jones. Hit a little bit on the Belichick stuff. We can always get into Greg Bedard's irrational hatred for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, all of it. Here's Johnny in Texas on Mac Jones. What do you think, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, Felger? I'll start off by just putting it out there. I'm an Alabama alum. I've watched every start, every throw Mac Jones has made since he started that Iron Bowl last year, played in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan, and then all this season. And I love the guy as a college quarterback, but I can count on one hand how many tight windows he's had to throw a ball into and over a season and a half of watching him play quarterback. I mean, he's very quick, as you say, getting these short intermediate routes, which I feel like would be a Patriot play. That being said, I think anyone that tells you they know about Mac Jones, they're lying to you, because the Patriots have worse skill position players than Alabama, and that's not an over-exaggeration. Between Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, John Michie, Jahil Billingsley, I mean, freaking Waddle's out there on one ankle last night, gave you more in one half than N'Keal Harry's giving you in 2 years. We don't know what he's going to be. The last point I'll make real quick, and then I'll jump off. If the Patriots want to target an Alabama quarterback, how about buy low on Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know if you could potentially trade him in the division with Miami. That's a guy who, when healthy, did not have OTAs, did not have an offseason. It's a young man's league.
Johnny, let me stop you. When you say buy low, how low do you think is anyone going to get Tua for? Like, Miami's going to draft the guy, whatever, four overall, one
fifth
year?
Or whatever it was, yeah, right.
Yeah, and then turn around the next year and sell on the cheap? No, they're not going to get rid of him unless they get a return on their investment. unless it's Deshaun Watson or another elite, you know, return coming back. Why would they bail after 1 year, especially when he showed him something? I mean, I don't know if you're sold on Tua, but it certainly wouldn't be something where you'd say, well, we give up on the guy. Stan in midfield. Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Stan, wash your hands. Go ahead. What do you got?
Can we call him the big baby today instead of the big boy? Oh, my God. Does somebody have poo-poo in his diaper because Josh Allen had a good season? The Patriots didn't. I mean, who do you think had an elite season this year or just this year? How is he trying to say that Josh Allen did not have an elite season?
Yes,
dude,
Stan,
the guy escaped pass rush.
I mean, I don't believe that, but I just said I don't think he's elite. That's what I said.
Right. I mean, last week we asked you to rank quarterbacks until you got to Josh Allen. I think you had him like eighth or ninth or something like that.
Or, yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, dude, you got poo-poo in your diaper. You should be top five, man. He is
poo-poo in my diaper. That's really mature.
I'm taking one out of Murray's book. You got poo-poo in your diaper, man.
What? Why would I? What's my angle? Because of the Patriots? I don't give a crap about the Patriots.
I don't think it's a Patriots thing. I think you're dug in on your take. And, well, it's as simple as that. That's really the oldest story in the book, isn't it?
No. Felger, you, other people, I got the same reaction when I had my opinion about Andrew Luck. It's fine. I'm okay being out there. I don't just go along with I'm saying his season is out of the ordinary. It's never happened before in the NFL. That is a fact. And so, I want to see more evidence before I say a player is great or elite. That's just me. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, would you say he's had an elite season?
I would say he's had a good to very good season.
I think that's bananas. I mean, he's been.
There's only a few, like Patrick Mahomes, Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. That's about it for
Allen.
Right. This year, he has been, I think he's been better than Mahomes this year. Maybe not Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson was sneaky great, you know, given how bad his season. But he's in that echelon this year. Can he string it together? Right. I guess we'll all find out. But the tools are there. And if you want to, I feel like you're horny to give Daboll the credit, which is fine. Fine with me. I think, you know, coaching is a huge element to quarterback development. Huge. I think it's almost impossible to have it without it. So fine. He's got his guy. All the more reason to believe in Josh Allen going forward. He's gotten the coaching. Those are the guys that are the elite of the elite. They get the coaching. So good. Craig in Haverhill on the Belichick Medal of Freedom story. Go ahead, Craig.
What's up, boys? I'm just calling in to follow up on Belichick in the Medal of Freedom. I mean, I agree with his take on it, not going down there. I think it's a bad look. But, I mean, you can't say that he's not deserving of that award. I mean, it's for cultural icons and people that have contributed to society. He's the greatest coach in NFL history.
So, fine. Give him the award. I don't think we've commented on that. I mean, I
have no idea where that call's coming
right.
from.
Right, exactly.
Like, again, who's disputing Belichick's greatness as a football coach?
Or that now, he should. I mean, if Annika Stornsom.
Right.
Is she even American?
No, Swedish.
Okay, so like.
Or Swiss.
Or if she's going to get it, yeah.
Yeah, Belichick. But I think both of them have become citizens, her and Gary Player.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, it's something that I really haven't spent much time on. The only reason I ever even remember it is that Kuzi got it this year, or recently, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't Kuzi get it?
Yep.
And he gave it to Rush Limbaugh at the State of the Union 1 year. Like, that's the only time it's crossed my radar, I want to say, in a long time. So, like, that's not – I don't think that's anyone's beef.
No, and look, now again, if you want to have a discussion about whether sports figures should get something like that, then we can discuss it. But, you know, if it's open to sports people, then absolutely Belichick's on the list.
Of course. How about our buddy Tony in Stoneham? He's up next with Greg Bedard. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Number one, Belichick is doing it because he doesn't want the controversy with the team and everything else. That's why he's doing it, and I think he made the right move in this situation. As far as Sunday goes, Brady's going to win Sunday. He's going to be in the championship game for the NFC title. That team is not going to beat him three games in one season.
I told you, Tony. Look, yeah, I said that. I said this yesterday. If I'm the New Orleans Saints, this is the one game I didn't want. I didn't want Tampa Bay again. I got to face them a third time. They're in the division. We kicked the crap out of them the last time, 38-3. Mike, that was the game where I said to you, no team has ever lost by 35 points in a regular season and won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
It has never happened. And so, and now Brady looks like he looked the past, this past week, albeit against Washington, but they held in an extra blocker. The whole point is they were intent on giving Brady time. They got manhandled by the New Orleans defensive line in the last game, as well as the first one, for that matter. So I have to believe that is the primary area of focus. They're going to get Brady time. If I'm New Orleans, I don't want this team coming in.
Well, so I was going to ask Greg, you know, were those performances, the first two, Tampa, New Orleans, one-offs? You know, the first one was the first game of the year, okay? So, like,
yeah.
You can sort of write that one off. The second one, I don't know if you can write off, but is there some sort of matchup advantage that New Orleans has, or were those just sort of special circumstances?
Mike, it's a good question. I don't follow the NFC all that closely to tell you one way or the other. I definitely wrote off the first one, but the second one, everybody knew the deal, and you thought, I mean, there was a lot of big talk coming from Tampa Bay about that game, and they got stomped. So it's hard for me to say.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you what it is. Because again, I'm not you know, X's and O's guys here like Greg, but in the two games, the New Orleans defensive front dominated the Tampa offensive line.
They
dominated
Brady
them.
A lot of trouble.
They abused them. They were all over them. And Tampa's offensive line is not that good. So, I mean, it's okay, but it's not great. And so this past game, they made a slight adjustment. Now, again, but I think they lost their right guard in the game, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. I have serious doubts about their ability to handle New Orleans up front. They, you know, that's one area that I would say if Tampa Bay doesn't address, they'll get slaughtered.
Okay, folks, long commercial-free segment is next. Stick around for it.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
Tom Brady will get his first playoff win, not as a Patriot. He'll get his 31st all-time playoff win.
Who had a better year, Belichick or Brady?
Belichick. Captain Wannabe, Puss Face the Pirate, left. The guy's a fraud. We win. My side wins.
In all honesty, I'm not rooting for anybody, you know, when they leave and they go to an all-star team.
The prima donna roadshow just left.
Belichick is going to be completely re-energized with this team. The cloud has been lifted for him. He's going to turn this into a rallying point for the team.
Tampa gave him the best shot at just padding his stats before he walked away.
I don't want to kiss Brady's butt. I'm tired of that. Murray, shame on you.
I can smell your full diaper of stinky poo. I can smell your full diaper. That's why I blur you. Tom won and Bill lost. But you shake your head and scream no. With your full diaper. Your full diaper. That has you smelling like an old age home.
That's the full diaper reference there, Bedard, the caller was talking about. Baby Patriots fans. I think we got a lot of Saints fans this week around here, Murray, or what?
Oh, big time, I'm sure. Yes, because the Blenami is going to be, again, it's just going to get more fierce with each win. One down, few more to go until they have a home game in the Super Bowl. Oh, I need it so much.
All right, Greg, give me your thoughts on the weekend action here. You know, who do you like? Who do you not like? Upset special, give me your thoughts.
Well, I think the game of the weekend obviously is the Ravens and the Bills. I think that was a bad matchup for the Bills. Not saying that they can't win, but going to Pittsburgh, or that Pittsburgh going there would have been much easier for the Bills and Josh Allen. They had already ripped through them in that crappy zone defense previously. Now the Ravens play a lot of man coverage. They're going to bring a lot of pressure. I think Martindale, the defensive coordinator, has done excellent work. He actually should be getting head coach opportunities. He hasn't gotten any. So I'm looking forward to that game. The Rams, I think that there's the possibility that Goff really has just been benched by McVay. I think that, as far as I know, he hasn't named a starter yet.
No,
and
correct.
Some of that has to do with the thumb. Some of it, I think that McVay thought Wolford gave him a better shot last weekend, and we'll have to see whether that continues. The Chiefs, I think, shouldn't have much of a problem with the Browns. And then Saints, Bucks, I just texted you and Maz that I was looking back at the last matchup. Brady was pressured 23 times on 44 dropbacks. That's over 50%. He has no shot if that happens again. In my history with Brady, anything over 35% pressure rate on him is he's going to have a tough time winning. Anything over 40, forget it. It's over and they're getting blown out. So the Bucs are going to have to protect. Now, I do think after watching this weekend that Brady's having a lot of influence because I was just looking. Gronkowski and Brate stayed in the block 40 times in that game on 44 pass attempts. The running back stayed in 26 times. So they're keeping in extra guys a lot more for Brady, and that has to continue against the Saints because if he doesn't get protected in this game, they could get blown out again.
Brady has come to the realization that he can't just quarterback the Bucs; he has to coach them. I'm serious. When you talk about that sort of adjustment, I'm willing to bet that that's Brady saying, "Hey, why don't we keep a tight end in?" You know, doing it in his subtle way to get the message across that he needs help. And Mike, I've told you this a million times since we've been on the air. I think this is the best football weekend of the year. To me, the division playoffs are usually the matchups are good. You have teams coming off of byes with high expectations. I think this weekend you get the best matchups that you can get, and I think they're all good, actually.
You know, I think it's fun also going forward. I'm going to hit on this more later this week that, you know, for Brady, the path easily could be here. Drew Brees this week, Aaron Rodgers next week. On the road, both of them, if that's the way it goes. And, you know, I'll just say quickly before I go forward, Green Bay, L.A., watch out for the injuries on the Rams. Not just at the quarterback spot, which is big. You know, Goff, maybe he's benched, but he's also got a thumb. He had surgery on his thumb. You know, that actually happened. And Warford there, however you pronounce it, it's got a stinger, right? He's got a neck, shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be cold as balls there in Green Bay. It's going to be 19 degree, you know, whatever.
Aaron Donald.
And Aaron Donald, I was just going to mention. Donald as well has, I don't even know what it
torn
is.
Torn rib cartilage.
Yeah. Okay, ribs, right? Now, you know, fancy pants, Rams get off the plane from L.A., and then, you know, the next day they're in the second half and they're freezing their coconuts off and Goff's arm thumb hurts and Donald, you know, so like that's, I think, a saving grace for the Packers, which I'm not going to take away from. That's what you earn with home field. You win 13 games, you get the number one seed, you get that advantage. But make no mistake, I think that's a path for the Packers that the Rams are beat up and it's going to be cold. And that, you know, that could be their saving grace. Anyway, so if Brady's got to go Breeze, you know, Aaron Rodgers on the road, this sort of mitigates this also separates him from Belichick in that, you know, you got to beat these guys straight up now, Tom. You don't got Belichick over your shoulder and Ernie over your shoulder and Josh McDaniels over your shoulder. You got, you know, you got that clown Bruce Arians over your shoulder, and you're not at Foxborough where they're dinking around with everything and you win 90% of the time. And no. Now it's like a fair fight. I mean, you know what I mean? Now it's a fair fight. Now the other quarterback has the coach. The other quarterback has home field. And let's see how that all plays out. I still think Brady's dangerous. I still think Brady can win this week. I still think Brady and the Bucs can go to the Super Bowl. I'm not writing them off. I take them real seriously. They scare the crap out of me coming into Lambeau. But, you know, all that is flipped. All those other advantages that Tom had before, they're gone. He doesn't have the defense advantage anymore. Doesn't have the coaching advantage anymore, and doesn't have Foxborough. Let's see how you do.
I mean, if I were him, I'd be most concerned about that defense, especially after doing what they did against Washington. That wasn't pretty. Greg, how do you feel?
I think they're going to have a tough time this weekend winning this game. And quite frankly, if their season ends here after a win over the Redskins, or excuse me, Washington, I'm not all that impressed.
Ooh, give me more on that. Flush that out for Murray a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, look, Tom went to a talented team. We all knew they were talented. They did well in their second place finish in the division. They beat a loser team with a loser defensive coordinator. I'm not all that impressed.
I can smell your true diaper coming through.
Full diaper.
I can smell your full diaper, and that's why we blur you.
All right, I'm looking forward to all of it. Looking forward to how Josh Allen does this week. Greg, thanks for taking the time. As always, we'll catch you next Tuesday.
Looking forward to our film session, Phil.
See you, big boy.
Later,
yes, the film session. All right. Coming up next, red hot Red Sox trade rumors. How about that? Say what? Yes.
Yummy, yummy.
Red hot Red Sox rumors with Tony Maserati coming your way after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.